Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. House Speaker John Boehner campaigned on jobs and cutting red ink. But he's talking about abortion now, one of our highest legislative priorities, he said last month. And it's moving. A federal defunding of Planned Parenthood cleared the House on a strong Republican majority last week. And there's more coming. This hour On Point, the new congressional push against abortion. You can join the conversation. Would you pull the plug on Planned Parenthood funding? Will we, should we, lose family planning and abortion? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. It has been very hot in these debates on the floor of the now Republican-dominated House. Here last Thursday, went very late into the night, the House debating funding for Planned Parenthood. Congressman Tim Huelskamp, Republican from Kansas, said the focus of the debate is not on whether abortion's legal or morally right, he said, but whether funding is fiscally responsible.
I must admit, I'm certainly disappointed that our Supreme Court somehow claims there is a right to abortion. But we do know there is no right to the public treasury. There is no right to the taxpayer dollar. There is no right to demand that Americans front this organization with their taxpayer money.
Talking there about Planned Parenthood, there was an enormous pushback as well. Here's Democratic Congresswoman Barbara Lee from California lambasting the GOP push.
These decisions by the Republican majority will endanger women's health, severely restrict women's rights, insert the government into the private medical decisions of women and their families, and are nothing short but an all-out war against women, and we are fighting back.
An all-out war, she says, against women. Joining me first today from Washington is Felicia Sanmez, congressional reporter and political blogger for The Washington Post. Felicia, thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So what has been passed at this point and what's still in the works?
So far, the only thing that's actually been passed has happened over on the House side, which is the Republican-led House. As you mentioned, late last week, early Saturday morning, actually, the House passed a measure that's going to hopefully keep the government funded through the end of the current fiscal year, which ends in September. And as a part of that overall government funding plan, there were two parts of that that specifically dealt with federal abortion funding, or I should say just the broader issue of federal funding of organizations that you know, perform abortions and have family planning services. One of those is called a program called Title X funding, which does not go toward abortion services, but goes towards other services, family planning, contraception. There were more than $300 million in those funds in the last year, and the measure that was passed by the House on Saturday morning would virtually eliminate all of that funding. And the second measure, the one that's more controversial, is the one that you just mentioned now, the amendment to that bill that was sponsored by Republican Congressman Mike Pence from Indiana. His amendment to that overall spending measure passed overwhelmingly in the House last week on a 240 to 185 vote. All but seven Republicans voted for it, and 10 Democrats also voted for it. That measure would prevent any federal funding from going toward to Planned Parenthood. The key here is that Planned Parenthood doesn't receive any federal funding for abortion services. It receives money for other services that it carries out. But Mike Pence and others who are supporting his amendment are using that as a way of saying that they just don't want any taxpayer dollars going to organizations that perform abortion services.
What is Planned Parenthood saying? Would they be shut down at this funding if it goes through the Senate? Would that be the end of Planned Parenthood or just a crimp in its operations? What?
It would be a very, very big dent in its operations. Planned Parenthood receives about $317 million, and the Pence amendment would eliminate all of that. And it also receives Title X funding, so there would be more money on top of that. And Planned Parenthood has fought back pretty strongly against this amendment, and you're seeing a lot of pushback now from congressional Democrats and their campaign organization, too. After that, the overall measure passed on Saturday morning. Just in the recent days, House Democrats' campaign organization has gone up with robocalls targeting Republicans that they think are in vulnerable districts who voted for that Planned Parenthood amendment. So it's got some big political ramifications, but also for Planned Parenthood itself would definitely be a major blow.
Now, federal funding for abortion is formally banned already. You're saying this would go at organizations close to abortion. Would it therefore take away family planning services, contraception, and so on around that women's health arena?
It would definitely, you know, limit the funding that those organizations get for those services, and you know they rely on a variety of different sources of funding. But it would definitely be a big blow to them, and that's one of the reasons why this has become such a controversial amendment.
What about the other things we've been hearing about? That forcible rape language that emerged and then I think went away again on Capitol Hill. What was that related to, and how does that come into play in this whole push?
Yes, yeah, that's another pretty hotly contested aspect of this whole debate, which really, I mean, the debate itself has over abortion and federal funding of abortion has come about due to the renewed focus on federal spending that's been happening on Capitol Hill now, with so many lawmakers, you know, looking at the results of last November's midterms and saying that, you know, the American people were telling Washington that, you know, we really need to rein in our spending on a variety of things.
So, but there's a million places to cut. These are very tightly and deliberately focused cuts, obviously.
Right, exactly. And so what's happened is in the middle of that spending debate, you've had different groups come out and, you know, Mike Pence, for instance, has this is the third or fourth time that he's introduced a measure that would defund Planned Parenthood. So you're seeing the abortion debate that has, you know, sort of taken a back seat in recent years, reemerging now in the context of this overall spending debate. But the back to the forcible rape language that you just mentioned, that was included in another bill. There are actually two other bills that have been proposed separate from this overall funding measure, proposed by two House Republican congressmen. One of those, when it was first introduced, included language that referred to forcible rape, and a lot of women's groups responded very strongly to that because they.
And this was in relation to funding that is available. These are the exceptions to the ban on abortion, federal abortion funding.
Yep, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And the reference to forcible rape was controversial because many groups thought that that was an attempt to change the definition of what rape is, and you know, implying that it would you know need to have some element of force involved. So after there was an uproar over that, that language was removed, but sort of the aftermath of that has still been felt strongly in this debate, and on the Hill, whenever committee hearings are happening or you know, other news conferences by lawmakers on this, it's something that's still being brought up. Democrats have been using it against Republicans who favored that bill, saying that it shows that this is a, quote, war on women, I think, as some of them have been saying.
What about private insurance? There's been talk about private insurance covering abortion also being affected by steps in the works on Capitol Hill.
That's right. Yeah, one of the two measures that are being brought up separately from this overall funding bill is a measure called the No Taxpayer Funding for Abortion Act. That one is sponsored by Congressman Chris Smith from New Jersey, longtime, you know, outspoken opponent of abortion rights. He, in this bill, would the aim of the bill is basically to do a couple things. It would permanently codify the language of the Hyde Amendment, which ensures that no federal funding goes toward abortion. That is usually renewed annually, and so this would just be an attempt to cement that more permanently. But the second thing it would do would be to eliminate any tax breaks to insurance providers that cover abortion services. So in other words, not just stopping the direct federal funding of abortion, but actually looking at those indirect ways that abortion services.
Even private insurers?
Yes.
What's the leverage there? What's the connection?
That those insurers would receive tax breaks under the health care law, and that this measure would basically stop those tax breaks from being put into effect for any of those private insurers that provide abortion services.
And the status of that now, Felicia?
That has already been looked at in a committee, but it hasn't passed out yet, and the House leadership still hasn't said whether it's actually going to reach the floor. And the problem, you know, that sponsors of these measures face is that even though Republicans have a pretty wide majority in the House, Democrats still control the Senate, and you know, a lot of them have already spoken out pretty strongly against these measures. So, yeah, their future is pretty uncertain, but it's definitely caused a lot of renewed focus on the abortion funding issue on the Hill right now.
Is it moot then or not? Does all this end in the Senate, or do you see pieces that may fly through both houses of Congress?
You might end up seeing some of it. I think it really depends on how strong the push is on both sides. Yesterday here on the Hill, for instance, we saw six people got arrested outside the office of the House Speaker, John Boehner, and that was because they were protesting to ask him not to let this language and these measures on blocking abortion funding and on defunding Planned Parenthood. They want him to persist and you know try to push those through the Senate in some way. So there are definitely vocal supporters on both sides. It's unclear though at this point the future that those particular cuts will have in the Senate. And even if they did happen to pass through there, the White House, it would probably be unlikely for them to pass the president's desk as well.
Planned Parenthood saying this is the biggest attack on them in decades, maybe ever. In terms of scale, as an attack on abortion or a move by opponents of abortion, how does this rank? Is this as big as they get?
It's quite big. And I think the thing that surprised people about this was that it seemed to have come out of nowhere. I mean, after November, most lawmakers and most candidates running their campaigns were focused almost entirely on the economy, and no one had been even mentioning social issues.
But here we are with abortion. Felicia Sanmez, we're up against a break, but thank you very much for joining us.
Great. Thanks very much, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the sharp new push in Congress against abortion, with a lot of family planning on the line, too, and more women's health issues here. It's been a strong push. It was in the Republican platform in the midterm elections last fall. It was not highlighted, but now it is. Here's House Speaker John Boehner giving his support to some of the legislation that Republicans have put forward on the Hill.
A ban on taxpayer funding of abortions is the will of the people, and it ought to be the will of the land. The current law, particularly as enforced by this administration, does not reflect the will of the American people.
The debate last Thursday got very hot indeed on both sides. Mike Spence out there, Chris Smith from New Jersey. Here's California Congresswoman Jackie Speier defending Planned Parenthood against what she called a vendetta. Here she is on the House floor that night.
Planned Parenthood has a right to operate. Planned Parenthood has a right to provide services for family planning. Planned Parenthood has a right to offer abortions. Last time you checked, abortions were legal in this country.
And then Congresswoman Speier, in the heat of the moment, spoke about a procedure of her own late in a pregnancy. I think she gets it backwards here, but where the fetus had moved from the cervix into the vagina, and there was some graphic descriptions of some of the surgery that goes on at that stage. She pushed back here against Congressman Chris Smith, the New Jersey Republican, who had the floor. Here's Jackie Speier.
I had a procedure at 17 weeks. Pregnant with a child that had moved from the vagina into the cervix, I lost a baby. But for you to stand on this floor and to suggest, as you have, that somehow this is a procedure that is either welcomed or done cavalierly or done without any thought, is preposterous.
Congresswoman Jackie Speier, Democrat of California there. Joining me now from Washington to look at the new push is Kelly Fedorek, Staff Counsel on Federal Government Affairs for Americans United for Life. Kelly, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom, for having me.
Your group has been a staunch opponent of abortion in this country. Do you think you're making progress with this Congress?
We are, Tom. We're very excited with this new Congress. It's perhaps the most pro-life Congress we've had since Roe v. Wade. And I think it's a really great thing for the American people who are pro-life. The majority are pro-life, and it's wonderful to have champions, particularly in the House and in the House leadership.
If you get your way, and I know you're in there working hard for this, what will be changed when this push is finished, this round of it anyway, Kelly?
Well, there's a number of goals. Primary goal is to defund Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is not a safe place for our women and for our girls, and it's been shown time and time again that they're not to be trusted. And
I know many who have found safety there and help there. What do you mean it's not safe?
Well, the scandals that go on there have included many, many things. State laws, they've failed to comply with state laws regarding the reporting of suspected child abuse.
Isn't it really their role in getting women to abortions if they want or need them? What bothers you about it, Planned Parenthood? Isn't that the basic concern?
Well, the problem is Planned Parenthood is the nation's largest abortion provider, and right now, the American taxpayer is supporting them and funding that. And recent polls have shown that over 70% of Americans do not want their tax dollars going to support abortion. So it's important at this time in history, especially with the economic crisis and all the financial difficulties where Americans are concerned about jobs and the economy, to ensure that their tax dollars aren't going to support abortion and the practices
that
go on at Planned Parenthood.
I've read that abortion, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but is about 3% of what Planned Parenthood does. What about the rest of the family planning and so on, women's health? Are you worried if that goes away too?
Well, if Planned Parenthood was really about women's health, they wouldn't have a new requirement. In December, this past December, they came out and said a new mandate that in the next 2 years, every Planned Parenthood affiliate must provide abortion for women. So I'm all about them providing, care for women and true, health care. But abortion is not health care. And just this past year, they performed 332,278 abortions.
I don't know about the number.
Planned Parenthood's business is focusing on abortion. And if they wanted to drop their, this is an opportunity really for Planned Parenthood to come out and say, we're not about abortion. We're not about hurting women. We do care about their health care. But that has not been the case. And so until Planned Parenthood can stop their practice of abortion, they should not be receiving federal funding.
And you would be happy to see it all go away. What else do you hope for in this round, Kelly?
Well, we have a number of legislative priorities. We're supportive of, obviously, the Pence Amendment to H.R. 1, which doesn't reduce funding for women's health clinics, but it does take away funding to Planned Parenthood. We're also supporting of the Title X Abortion Provider Prohibition Act. This is an incredibly important bill because it basically ensures that Title X funding does not go to any abortion provider. It can only go to clinics that do not also provide abortion. So this is another way to enable, focus on women and their health and not abortion. We're also looking forward to the Protect Life Act to be passed. This bill prohibits the federal government from requiring private insurance companies to cover abortion, and it also protects health care providers from discrimination for refusal to participate in abortions. And this is a particularly important bill just because the rights of conscience are it's so at risk right now in our country.
So you're saying you've got the biggest sort of opportunity in the anti-abortion drive that you've seen since Roe v. Wade. Kelly Fedorek, stand by if you would for a moment. Frances Kissling joins us now from Washington, D.C., visiting scholar at the University of Pennsylvania Center on Bioethics. She's looking at the abortion controversy. Former president of Catholics for Choice, author of How to Think About Abortion. Frances Kissling, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi.
What do you see going on in this new push against abortion?
Well, I think it's obviously more than a push against abortion. I think it's really a push against family planning as well as abortion, and unintended, perhaps, against things like poor women's access to pap smears and mammograms and all sorts of other services that they need. It's extremely disturbing. And for me, what it shows, at least at the congressional level and the Republican level, is the willingness of the state. I mean, they say it's a push against abortion, but the reality is that the kinds of measures that are being considered in Congress are the very measures that are going to lead women to seek more abortions.
Explain that, please.
Well, if women don't have access to... first of all, family planning is very expensive. Most people don't realize how much it can cost. But, family planning can cost someone $50, $75, $80, even $100 a month to get good, reliable family planning. That's certainly well beyond the means of most low-income and poor women. If you cut off Title X family planning money, not only to Planned Parenthood, but to any other provider, to all providers, you are, in essence, denying women the very means they need to prevent a pregnancy. And what you're doing, what I think that some of these Republicans are doing, is moral grandstanding. They want to sound as if they're against abortion, and they're, morally correct. And what they really are doing is castigating the women. They're the ones who are causing the abortions. And they're not the women. The Congress people are the ones causing the abortions if they cut this money off. And they instead want the women and the providers of the services to be castigated, when in fact what the providers are going to be doing is of abortion are going to be picking up the pieces of a failed social policy, that is the cutting off of family planning money, that leads to abortions.
You say moral grandstanding, but there would be real consequences to this legislature.
Yes,
this is not just grandstanding, right?
That's right. It's moral grandstanding, but often moral grandstanding includes real consequences for real people. So they want to look clean, but the reality is they're not clean. They are indeed the more of a cause of abortion than anyone else. And it's not just about cutting family planning money. If you cut WIC money, if you cut child care money, if you do these kind of silly cuts that they want to do to small scale programs instead of big cuts to military spending, waste, corruption, etc. Basically, you are the anti-life person.
Frances Kissling, please stand by. And Kelly Fedoruk, we've got a lot of listeners who want to get in on this conversation, and I'd like to hear your response to them. Let's go to first to New York and Lorraine. Lorraine, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Tom. I'm calling because I'm so concerned for several issues. Again, low-income people, the access Planned Parenthood gives to them, but the educational quality that the Planned Parenthood offers to all income levels. I went to a mother-daughter retreat with my daughter to discuss the issues of sexuality, and it was a wonderful day I spent with my daughter, and she and other mothers were there with their...
Why did you do that, Lorraine? Why didn't you just talk with your daughter yourself?
Well, because I felt it was important that she got it. What they did is they had the girls get together and they had the mothers get together.
Was she in trouble? Your daughter, was she in trouble at that point?
No. It was just as sexual education. How to discuss. A lot of parents. I was one of these kids that my sister told me about sexuality. Okay, I wanted her to have it straight from the horse's mouth. Talk to other her peers. And everybody, and we had a wonderful day. Planned Parenthood planned that day so a mother and daughter could talk about sexuality independently and afterwards, but in a group setting.
Lorraine, the note on my screen says your daughter's sanity was saved by that meeting after a violent sexual assault. Is that right?
She had a violent sexual assault on her, and we went to Planned Parenthood, and they found a place for her to get to a sexual assault counselor, and they used that place for her to come back and come around.
Lorraine, I'm glad you came back and came around, and I appreciate your call very much there in Dannemora, New York. Let me get one more right here, Red Oak, Iowa. Jennifer, you're on the air, Jennifer.
Hi, Tom. I am an educator for Planned Parenthood, actually, and I'm also an interpreter, so I kind of get in the nitty-gritty of actual patients who come and use the services. Let me just give you a snapshot. We're in a rural area in southwest Iowa. Planned Parenthood is the only family planning clinic within, let's say, like a 60-mile radius. So you take away the funding for, low-income women for birth control, you will definitely see the abortion rate. And then you times that by all the other rural places in the United States where Planned Parenthood is the only place for family planning, which mostly equals contraception. When we talk about family planning, we're mostly talking about you know, access to contraception.
Yep.
You will definitely see abortion rates skyrocket. You will see people. We're going to go back to coat hanger age, I'm sorry to say.
Jennifer, hang on if you would. Kelly Fedoruk, let me put that to you. Jennifer works for Planned Parenthood, but you hear what she says. Abortions will skyrocket if its funding is cut. That's clearly not your goal. What do you say to that, Kelly?
Well, that's categorically not true. Right now, the bills that are going on in Congress is to ensure that the taxpayer is not funding abortion or abortion providers. And we know that money is fungible. So even though the Hyde Amendment says that the funding shouldn't go directly to abortion, it can be paid for Planned Parenthood's overhead and for other costs.
To cut federal funding for Planned Parenthood, and Jennifer says that will mean more abortions.
Well, the thing is she was talking about these poor women who are seeking help, and we want to give women authentic health care. Right now, the poor women of our country are the target of the abortion industry. I mean, you can look at where the abortion clinics more and more are planned. They're put in rural areas. They're put in areas targeting African Americans and Hispanics. And these women, why can't we work towards a society where a poor woman never feels like abortion is her only option?
Let me put that to our caller, Jennifer. Jennifer, are you targeting poor women for abortion?
You know, that's the conspiracy theory that's out there about Planned Parenthood. I have seen nothing in my 11 years working with Planned Parenthood and interpreting, nothing that would even remotely speak to something like that going on. So it's very, very troubling. And you know what? I keep hearing her saying federal funding for abortion, funding abortion. There is no federal funding for abortion, period. That is banned. I can't, we need to stop. You need to stop using this really incorrect language. It's unfortunately the uneducated folks out there about how this all works.
But Kelly points out money's fungible. If you get money from one place, you can use other money for other things, maybe for abortion. Isn't that true?
Tom, could I break in here, please, Francis?
Yes. Jennifer, thank you for your call. Francis, please.
I think I'd like to say two things. First of all, Planned Parenthood clinics are not disproportionately located in minority neighborhoods. 10% of Planned Parenthood clinics are in minority neighborhoods.
Okay.
Surveys have been done by anti-choice groups that have said otherwise. They're wrong. People can check this out for themselves.
Well, actually, Francis,
Kelly, just let me finish.
I'll come to you, Kelly. I promise. Okay. Yes.
And then, secondly, the fungible money argument is really ridiculous, because if that's true, then Kelly and her cohorts are going to have to go after every healthcare facility in this country, including hospitals that do perform abortions, particularly medically necessary abortions, because you're going to have to realize that their money is fungible too.
Well, maybe they will go after them.
Maybe they will.
Maybe Kelly, you were there? Kelly?
Oh, yes, I'm here. I just wanted to say that a recent report from Planned Parenthood was talking about the increase that we had seen a decline in abortion over the past few years, but more recently that there is no longer a decline, and they cited two reasons for that. One, more and more Planned Parenthood clinics are being found in urban areas targeting minority populations, and then also it's
helping them, depending how you look. But that doesn't mean that it's more than 10%.
Well,
right?
But Tom, I think there's right. The abuse that goes on in Planned Parenthood clinics is becoming more and more prevalent. I mean, Live Action just released multiple videos showing Planned Parenthood workers being willing to aid and abet sex traffickers.
We saw that,
and
we heard the criticism back from Planned Parenthood about singling out, one-time deals. Let me get one call here. Steve in Nashville. Steve in Nashville, you're on the air. Steve, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you think, Steve?
I'm all for a woman's right to get access to necessary abortions, and I don't.
Okay.
I just don't see that. I believe that our government right now, in this current financial situation,
mm-hmm.
is to make choices, and I don't believe that we have really the luxury of choosing to continue funding things that are socially responsible, but they're not government. They're not necessary to government being run.
Steve, we've got it. Francis Kisling, we just got 20 seconds before a break. We're broke. Mm-hmm. It's all a luxury. What do you say?
Well, the reality is that if you don't support family planning and pay for that, then you are going to be paying for more children in poverty, more women without jobs, more unemployment, more prisons, and all of the things that you really don't want to pay for. And you're not going to be helping women, which is, or their children, which is the most important thing.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the big new push in Congress against abortion. Last Thursday, during that big debate in the House, Republican Congressman Mike Pence from Indiana, who may have a run for the presidency in mind one day, argued for his amendment for completely defunding Planned Parenthood.
Nobody's saying that Planned Parenthood can't continue to be the largest abortion provider in America. But why do tens of millions of pro-life American taxpayers have to pay for it?
There's the argument. On the other hand, here's Wisconsin Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore telling the House that without the support of Planned Parenthood, there are more unplanned pregnancies coming for low-income mothers. And the children, she said, are the ones to suffer.
You have to add water to the formula to make it stretch. You have to give your kids ramen noodles at the end of the month to fill up their little bellies so that they won't cry. You have to give them mayonnaise sandwiches. And let me tell you, you know, the public policy has treated poor children and women with utter contempt.
We've got all kinds of response here online. Jay says polls show a majority of Americans are now pro-life and want to see Roe v. Wade struck down. He says that's encouraging. Brian says the push against abortion has nothing to do with cutting spending. He says this is a social war the GOP wants to wage. Nicole says teenagers go to Planned Parenthood for free and low-cost birth control when they're scared to approach their parents about it. This extremely valuable service actually prevents some abortions from ever occurring. Kelly Fedoric is with us this hour from Americans United for Life. Francis Kissling is here from the University of Pennsylvania's Center for Bioethics, former president of Catholics for Choice. And right now from Washington, we're joined by William Salatan, national correspondent for Slate.com. He's covered the abortion and reproductive health issues a lot, author of Bearing Right, How Conservatives Won the Abortion War. William Salatan, thank you very much for joining us. What do you see going on at this moment in this long fight over abortion?
Well, what I see, Tom, is an attempt by the pro-life movement to broaden what I would call their sort of libertarian consensus on abortion funding. That is to say, it's not really true that most Americans are legally pro-life. They're morally pro-life. They don't like abortion, but they also don't like the government interfering in people's decisions about abortion. However, you can get a plurality or a slight majority for the proposition that the government shouldn't tell you you can't have an abortion, and it also shouldn't tell you that your tax dollars, if you're pro-life, have to go for other people's abortions. So that's a kind of libertarian consensus that they – and they've used that argument in Congress. Now, the problem is that they are now we sort of have that now with the Hyde Amendment, no government funding of abortion except in cases of rape or incest. What the Republicans are trying to do is to push that libertarian consensus, to broaden its definition in various ways, and I'm not sure that politically they're going to be able to get away with that.
What's the political boundary here at this point?
Well, they're trying to do this in several ways. First of all, they're trying to broaden the definition of what counts as federal funding. So the old definition has been the government takes public money, other people's tax money, and funds your abortion, or takes your money and funds somebody else's abortion. The new definition that the Republicans are trying to do in a couple of these abortion-related bills is that if you – if we take your tax money and we give you back some of your tax money as a tax break to buy health insurance, but if you buy a policy, an insurance policy that covers abortion, we're going to call that federal funding. Here we're giving you your own tax money back, but the Republicans are saying that is now – government public money, and it can't be used for your abortion.
That doesn't sound libertarian.
Yeah, that's one way in which they're pushing the definition into what some people would consider coercion of involving money. A second thing they're doing is they're increasingly targeting indirect funding of abortion. So, for example, Title X money can't be used for abortion. But the Republicans are now saying we're going to zero out Title X because some Title X – and the same thing with Planned Parenthood. If we give this money to Planned Parenthood for contraception, they'll use some of their other money for abortion. Well, now you're starting to use the fact that any government money goes to you as leverage to make you stop doing anything related to abortion.
Is this going to push people or scare organizations from getting anywhere in the women's health arena? arena? Does it become too precarious?
It might. It is certainly the intent of the Republicans to intimidate everybody out of the abortion business, to say to Planned Parenthood, even though only 3% of the services you provide are abortion, we're going to withhold the other 97%. We're going to withhold all the rest of your money until you get out of the abortion business.
But what about family planning? Is that targeted too, or that's just gets caught in the crossfire?
Well, you could say it gets caught in the crossfire, but when so little of the money that's at stake is actually going to abortion and so much of it is going to family planning, you can argue that's a lot of collateral damage. And actually, Tom, the biggest fish here is to me not the Planned Parenthood, which is admittedly controversial, mm-hmm. but it's the zeroing out of Title X. Now, Title X money under law may not be used for abortion. So we're just talking about family planning. And I have yet to hear – I would love to hear from the pro-life movement, from Kelly, for example, does she support the Republican zeroing out of Title X, which is just family planning money, no abortion money at all?
Kelly?
Well, I think with Title X, until Planned Parenthood can show us that not only is Title X funding not going to go toward abortion or subsidizing abortion, we also have to look at the drugs that are abortion-inducing drugs. Those also right now can be seen as part of family planning money, and it's not right for the taxpayer to also be complicit in funding abortion-inducing drugs.
So your answer is yes, then. You're willing to cut off all that family planning money until you see the bright line that you want around abortion.
I think it needs to be very clear and clear to the American people. But I think, Tom, that the debate here, we keep bringing up family planning, but the majority of the bills that we're talking about are focused on ensuring that funding is not going to abortion.
But for Title X, as William Salatin describes, it is all about family planning, and you're looking to zero it out, right?
Well, it was part of a provision in H.R. 1, but
that you supported, that you pushed hard for, right? I mean, just to be clear,
we supported the Pence Amendment, which mm-hmm. ensures that Planned Parenthood is not receiving federal funding under the CR. But there's a clear lie floating around that the Pence Amendment also cuts health services for low income women, and this is not true. I mean, there's over 4,000 clinics that do care about women's health services, and as a young woman, I think that we should be focusing, you know, if we're going to focus the taxpayers' dollars on anything, it should be to provide adequate and real health care for women and not abortion or covering abortion overhead.
Francis, no threat funding for poor women?
I think Kelly's response is quite interesting, and I think it shows the weakness that her side feels itself on this issue. You know, the fact is that Will is correct, that the bill does cut entirely family planning money, whether it's going to a public health clinic, a community hospital, or to Planned Parenthood. So this is not just about Planned Parenthood. This is about a total cut of every federal dollar for family planning for low-income people. That is not going to be popular. And I think that you can see Kelly's fudging on her inability to actually say, we support the total denial of federal funding for family planning, shows that they themselves know that this is not popular, but that they are indeed supporting it.
But she's not exactly fudging. She's agreeing, you know, until she sees the complete the taking out of abortion. I mean,
it is already clear mm-hmm. that some of that Title X family planning right. money, that $317 million mm-hmm. in Title X money, $75 million of it goes to Planned Parenthood. The rest of it goes to other places, and it goes to many places that have nothing to do with abortion, that have never done a single abortion in their lives. They are going to be cut off too.
Let me get
so
a couple
Kelly's
of callers
bright
here,
line
if I may.
Is not
yeah,
clear.
Yeah, Monica in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Monica, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say that I am on the side of pro-life. I don't think that abortion should happen, and I think legality does not change the moral imperative that people have. And I feel like if this is in fact a matter of taxpayer money being taken and being and somehow related at all to abortion, then I think it's fair for people to have a stake in where their money is going. And I understand that, you know, it seems as though it may be taking away from the family planning side. Mm-hmm. But I agree that unless it's like unless there's a level of accountability and transparency on the part of Planned Parenthood that this money isn't going to go towards abortion, then I think that that's money that shouldn't be given. And I'm actually also tired of hearing this hypothesizing as to, like, women are now going to go and start, you know, like, using, going about any manner of to get an abortion.
Why are you tired of that? Why are you tired of that, Monica? I mean, that is what happened in history, right, when it wasn't legally available.
Well, I feel like it's a way to get people fired up about this issue. Like,
but isn't it a fact? I mean, isn't that the fact of history?
Very easily. And on top of that, mm-hmm. I'm also disappointed mm-hmm. that that there's this issue of always talking about low-income people and this is what they're going to do. And having come from a low-income family, I still don't think that if people regard this as a moral imperative, I don't think that that should be an option. And I don't think that you, in some way, by saying it's legal, it makes it any better. And
I'm just saying it's legal, which it is, right? I mean, that's all. It is legal, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's legal in the United States. I get that. I have no issue with that. But I'm just saying that if people find it, if the what they're saying is the majority of people feel like this is a moral imperative, then I don't think that people that have that kind of perspective should be undermined and called, I mean, whatever that the Kissling lady is insinuating, you know, about people who have this and for some reason, because it's legal, they don't view it as okay.
Well, I think she's just pointing out what I think is a fact, that the people are willing to cut off family planning funding in order to get at abortion. You're saying, Monica, you would do that too. You feel it's such a moral imperative, and we've got that. William Salatin, what about the sentiments of the American people? Is it clear? How does that break down at this point? I mean, your book says conservatives won the abortion war. Where is public sentiment today? Can you tell?
Yeah, well, when I said conservatives, I tried to make clear that the kind of conservative I'm talking about is a libertarian conservative. Mm-hmm. So that you can put together, as the Republicans have sought to do, a plurality or a slight majority that includes both pro-lifers, like the caller, mm-hmm. Who believe that abortion should be illegal, and Americans who don't think abortion should be illegal but don't want to pay for it either. So when you're saying we should defund
abortion. Through
their taxes,
that is.
Right,
yeah.
Through taxes. So when you say the government should not use tax money for abortion, yes, you can get a majority to get together for that proposition. What hasn't really been tested, mm-hmm. Although there are data that suggest it is not true, is whether you can extend that argument to tax breaks for insurance, for example, or to family planning. And to me, that is the much bigger question of what the Republicans are doing. You can argue, based on polling data that I have seen, that the Republicans are walking into a minefield when they step beyond abortion, which is what the caller is talking about, and into family planning. And I know that they are saying that we have to defund family planning because some of that money goes to
mm-hmm.
abortion.
Yep.
But when you have a very clearly isolated case like Title X, in which no money goes to abortion, and I know Kelly was talking about so-called abortion pills, but the only abortion pill, which is what used to be known as RU486, mm-hmm. cannot be funded through Title X. When you start talking about so-called abortion pills being funded under family planning, what you are actually talking about is birth control pills. And then so you are talking about defunding the provision of birth control to poor people and also defunding the ability of, you know, Americans to use their own money, possibly by implication of this healthcare insurance debate, to even have birth control covered under
there. Kelly, I'll come to you. I want to get another caller or two, if I may. Kate in Providence, Rhode Island. Kate, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just want to respond to Kelly's use of the word targeting, and you pointed out, Tom, sometimes it's helping. And I think I just find it incredibly patronizing because, you know, I had an abortion when I was 23. It wasn't a happy decision. It wasn't anything it wasn't easy, but it was the choice I wanted to make for my own body and my own future. And that's my judgment. That was my judgment about my life and my choice. And I don't consider it morally wrong. I consider it my business. And I also think if you're going to start separating out hairs about how our government spends money, you know, we're in two wars, and we don't talk about that much. So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Got it, Kate. Stay out of your business there. Ben in Lexington, Kentucky. Ben, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. This is Ben Honeycutt. I'm a physician, a family medicine doctor.
All right. What do you think, Ben? Dr. Ben?
Well, I was going to make three comments fundamentally, and they're actually very pertinent. One is I work at a health department, and I've worked at four, and I'm a family medicine doctor in Lexington, Kentucky. My point is that if you defund Planned Parenthood, you are not withdrawing support for the access to health care. You have nurse practitioners, you have family doctors, you have internal medicine doctors, and we're all out there in the private enterprise providing care. So when you say you're funding Planned Parenthood, you can actually reallocate that money to Medicaid, Medicare, other funding programs. And the idea is these women can walk into my clinic at any time. I might charge them $55 or $60, but that's the free market. And I'll be perfectly happy to prescribe them birth control pills, which average anywhere from $4 at Walmart to up to $60 to $150 if you buy the fancy medicine.
Ben, I'm afraid we're out of time, and I apologize for it. Francis Kissling, there are plenty of options out there, says Dr. Ben in Lexington, Kentucky. Why put public money toward it?
Well, there really aren't plenty of options, and you know, that's pretty. Something that one can really check on. The fact is that if Planned Parenthood is not only a significant abortion provider, it is a major provider of family planning services for women. If women had had many, many, many options, we wouldn't need Planned Parenthood, but we do need it.
Kelly, do you think you're going to get Planned Parenthood to fundamentally change or shut it down? What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I think I just want to make two points. One is talking about a point Felicia made at the beginning of the show, where she was talking about the amount of money that Planned Parenthood is getting. And right now, the taxpayer is giving them about $250 million every year. But that's not their entire budget. They have an over $1 billion budget, and they're receiving money from private donors and individual contributors. So in the response to, you know, whether or not they're going to be shut down, well, no. And I think this is an opportunity for Planned Parenthood to distinguish themselves. Do they really care about women, or do they want to continue providing abortion? And that's not, I mean, that might be an individual's choice, but that's not something the taxpayer should be complicit in funding.
3% of what they do, might there not be times when it's necessary?
You know, that's not actually, that's sort of a skewed number, because if you look at their percentage of pregnancy services, in 2009 they report performing over 300,000 abortions compared to 977 adoptions. So that's 99%.
Kelly, we're out of time on that front. Kelly, we're out of time right there. Kelly Fedoruk with Americans United for Life, thank you for being with us. Francis Kissling at University of Pennsylvania. William Salatin with Slate, thank you to each of you. I'm sorry our time is so short here. It's a big issue and it's hot. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.